Foodways. The following is an audio version of the text on the Foodways display. These are organized by wall panel. The text sections within the panels have been labeled with the same titles as on the wall. Note this text does not include artifact labels or descriptions for the Foodways section. If you require additional accommodations for viewing or understanding the archaeology exhibit, please see a visitor services representative. Panel 1. Feeding our body and spirit. Food bonds us to our families, our community, our history, our identity, and our home. The collective wisdom of native peoples about plants and animals, human health, and delicious flavor has created a way of living that benefits generations. Community quote, "Food is a gift," from Valerie Segrest from Muckleshoot. "Native foods feed your body, but they also feed your spirit," from Hank Gobin, a Tulalip ancestor. Archaeology helps us reconstruct food histories. Like most people around the world, the native peoples of Washington State have handed down recipes and food traditions over generations. Archaeological research supports this traditional knowledge by filling gaps destroyed by forces of colonialism, such as epidemic diseases, village and habitat destruction, and control over traditional food sources. Archaeological knowledge provides insights into sophisticated systems of food and its management. It also provides solutions to current health issues disproportionately affecting Native communities, like diabetes and heart disease. Panel 1.2. Sustaining life on land. When the last ice age glaciers started melting about 18,000 years ago, they left behind a landscape of saltwater inlets, freshwater rivers, lakes, and diverse microclimates uniquely suited to produce a bounty of animal and plant life. With careful management by the ancestors of Native peoples, this region became one of the few places in the world where wild resources were plentiful enough to support a dense human population. Resilience in a place of bounty. While lands and waters of Washington State are bountiful, people need resilience to survive and thrive here. Shared resources, trade, and social relationships within and between communities help Native peoples care for one another and ensure survival. In the mid-1800s, the U.S. military and non-Native settlers imposed property ownership and forced the removal of Native peoples to tribal reservations. This disconnected communities from their land and food resources. Further, the U.S. government's food programs provided unhealthy ingredients to tribal reservations. White flour, refined sugar, and processed meats prevented starvation, but created new health problems. In the 1970s, Pacific Northwest tribes were able to successfully bring legal challenges that re-establish important tribal rights and practices. Ongoing tribal activism helps communities revitalize social and food networks. Hunter, fisher, caretaker. Archaeological evidence and oral traditions show that in addition to hunting and gathering wild animals and plants, Native peoples of Washington State shaped their landscapes to nurture and maintain food sources in ingenious ways. Native peoples altered tidal flats to provide better habitat for shellfish. They used low-intensity fire to maintain deer and elk grassland habitat, high mountain huckleberry meadows, and cultivate plants like camas. Many of these practices continue today. Panel 2. Continuity of life on land. Native people have lived in what is now Washington State since time immemorial. Although there have been some shifts in diet over time, oral traditions and archaeological evidence of food from the most recent 4,000 years shows relatively little change. Animal bones tell stories. Archaeological sites hold thousands of years of food history. By studying animal bones from these sites, archaeologists learn which species were important foods and how they were cooked, which species provided materials to make tools or other objects, as well as clues about the environment around the site. Bird wing mystery. At a 3,500-year-old site on Lopez Island in Washington State, aquatic and terrestrial birds were treated differently. Only wing bones of aquatic birds are found in this site, while all of the bones from terrestrial birds are present. Archaeologists guessed that the bodies of aquatic birds, like ducks, were processed and eaten off-site, and that terrestrial birds were not used for food, but for other cultural practices. However, they have not yet solved this mystery. Spear innovation. Before the bow and arrow, there was the atlatl, a tool that extends the throwing arm to increase a spear's speed and distance. Atlatls have been used all over the world and allow hunters to take down larger game like bison or elk more easily. Atlatl weights improve the performance of the atlatl, increasing distance and speed. Many are personalized with grooves or animal carvings. Learning from points. Ancestors communicate through objects, sharing their expert knowledge about hunting through the tools they designed. As the largest animals such as mammoths and mastodons went extinct, people began to rely more on smaller animals, such as deer, seals, and even birds. The design of hunting tools reflects the special knowledge needed about the size, speed, and behavior of the animal, their environment, and many other factors. Sometimes, archaeologists can recover residues of the animals from ancient hunting tools. Nets aren't just for catching fish. Coast Salish peoples made special aerial nets at landing sites along bird routes and underwater versions for bird diving sites. Birds, especially waterfowl, would fly or swim into the nets and get caught. Panel 3. Bountiful Waters. Fish and shellfish have sustained people for millennia as generations pass down and perfect their fishing techniques and technologies. This consistency of diet over time indicates that ancestors of today's fishers left enough fish behind to mature and spawn, ensuring a continued food resource. Fishing sockeye was always during the warm time of year. The best moments were in the evening, out on the water, observing the stars, and being visited by orcas in the moonlight. Sometimes they would be so close you could hear them blowing and slapping their large tails on the water. That is how they got the salmon. It sounds a lot like dynamite on the water, and it not only stuns the fish, it also tells us that the sockeye are close by. Quote from Georgiana Peachy Ungaru, Suquamish ceremonial fisherwoman. When the tide is out, the table is set. The Salish Sea, inland waters and river systems, host a rich diversity of fish, marine mammals, clams, oysters, crabs, urchins, seaweeds, and more. This richness is reflected in bones and shells found in archaeological sites. When archaeologists started using finer mesh screens in the 1980s, they discovered more evidence for diversity in the local diet. In addition to big-boned game, like elk, people were eating many varieties of food animals, including tiny-boned Pacific herring, Clupia pallasi. Water requires specialty spears. Harpoons are spears with attached tow lines and are traditionally designed for the target, small for salmon, large for seals, and supersized for whales. Barbs on the points keep them from falling out. More complex toggling harpoons have a breakaway point connected to the harpoon by a line. Once lodged in place, the point won't budge and the prey can be hauled in. A sacred staple. Salmon have been a staple food for native peoples in the Pacific Northwest for at least 12,000 years. In addition to hooks and harpoons, nets are an important way to catch salmon. Nets are made of lightweight fibers that float, so they need weights to keep the bottom edge underwater. Usually, archaeologists only find these stone weights in sites, since the nets themselves have long since decayed. Once caught, salmon are killed and processed for storage, which requires other special tools. Raking in the herring. Although nearly extinct now, Salish Sea herring runs were once so thick that fishers literally raked fish from the shallow waters. Herring rakes have 7 feet long handles with comb-like teeth along one end. One swipe with a rake through the water can harvest a dozen herring. Archaeologists sometimes find the bone teeth of ancient herring rakes. More recently, the rake teeth are made of metal nails. Panel 4. Garden of Plenty. Over thousands of years, native peoples have used plant food sources across the landscape, from harvesting camas and bulb plants on the prairies in spring to picking berries in the mountains in fall. Special cultivation of these food sources through land management makes them more productive. These practices reflect a sophisticated system of cultural values and expertise that successfully fed people for generations. Tiny food evidence lives in dirt. Tiny seeds or microscopic pollen and other plant parts found in dirt provide evidence for ancient plant foods. Archaeologists usually collect dirt samples like this to bring back to the lab to study plant use. Multi-purpose plants. Just as with animals, plants aren't only for food. They also provide materials that can be made into baskets, clothing, tools, and other objects. Native peoples have developed and refined practices that use plants and other resources to their fullest potential. Tending the fields with digging sticks. Families traditionally protected and managed fields of camas, an important starchy staple food, for many generations. Management includes using low-intensity fire to help enrich the soil and reduce unwanted plants. Specialized digging wood or metal sticks with bone or antler handles are used to turn the soil and harvest the camas bulbs. The bulbs are eaten fresh, roasted, boiled, or even dried for winter storage. take a look at the camas growing just outside the Burke Museum. Community quote, "Our family gathered particular foods and medicines throughout the seasons. We harvested cedar bark, nettles, camas bulbs, and fiddleheads in the spring, berries in the summer, and rose hips and nettle fiber in the fall. We take what we need and do not waste. We use what we kill. The foods are gifts, and we honor them." From Kimberly Miller, Skokomish. The Huckleberry Handshake. A 1932 handshake cemented an agreement between the Yakima Nation and the U.S. Forest Service guaranteeing access to huckleberry fields for regional tribes and future generations. Commercial harvesting by non-native pickers now threatens this traditional food source. Panel 5. From Ingredients to Cuisine, Native peoples of the Pacific Northwest gather the bounty of the land and waters to make delicious and healthy food. They have developed methods of preserving foods that allow them to be traded long distances and stored for months or longer without refrigeration or artificial preservatives. Recipes and methods are handed down through the generations, and archaeological data complements and enhances this knowledge. Community quote, "In gathering food, people have to work together. No one person can do this by themselves. Nowadays, people are trying to be so independent. People need each other to be healthy. Emotionally, they need each other. When you work together, it's another way of feeding your soul. You learn to work with people despite your differences to accomplish basic needs. That's one of the positives I see about the food gathering, preparing, and preserving process." From Rob Purser, Suquamish. What's cooking? Bone fragments found in cooking hearths teach us about the variety of foods people were preparing, like a recipe ingredient list. These fish bones were found using quarter-inch and eighth-inch screens at a 1,000 to 200-year-old archaeological site on Vashon Island in Washington State, held in trust for the Puyallup tribe of Indians. Leftover food clues. Sometimes, cooking stones have plant and animal residues that give clues about traditional food preparation and diets. These rocks are from a 9,700 to 7,800-year-old site near Granite Falls, Washington. Chemical analysis revealed that people who lived there had diverse plants in their diet, including acorn, which is well known in California and Oregon, but unusual this far north. Tools for food or something else. Many tools are used for preparing food, and sometimes we even find food residue on them. But these two stone knives or scrapers were probably designed to scrape hide or skin to make clothing or other objects. Preparing salmon to sustain us. Once salmon is caught, it takes expert knowledge and special tools to make it into food that doesn't spoil. To make pounded salmon for trade, the fish are gutted and cut into strips, then mixed with roe or berries, and left in the sun to dry. Once dry, the fish is pounded with a mortar and pestle, then packed tightly into baskets. Pounded fish, like smoked fish, can be stored for years. Fundamentals for health and taste. Small mortars like these are used to process ochre, herbs, and other ingredients used for medicine, ointments, and flavoring foods. Panel 6. People displaced, lifeways disrupted. European explorers brought sickness and disease to this region hundreds of years before non-natives arrived to develop the city of Seattle. By the 1850s, the U.S. government and new settlers brought major disruptions to local culture and diet. Non-native settlers rapidly altered ecosystems and severely restricted access to lands and waters. In many instances, it was illegal for native people to collect traditional foods and trade them. The reservation system and boarding schools imposed new foods and lifeways poorly suited to native people's nutritional and cultural needs. Native peoples adapted to keep alive the cultural values that had always guided their food traditions, the knowledge of how, when, and what to eat. Today, there is a resurgence underway to maintain the knowledge and practice of food traditions. Community quote, "How much there was prior to the treaties, how it was fenced off from us, and how we were told not to, this is what we want you to do now, and this is how we want you to live now. When that core element of what we knew was good for us was taken away from us, and our people were getting sick, dying off, and we were losing the concept of what it was to be a family, to be a community." From Elizabeth Swanisett, Nooksack, Cowichan, Laquamel Tribes. Reservations today. Before 1850, all of the land in what is now Washington State was home to Native peoples. Today, a small fraction of that land is allocated to 29 federally recognized tribes. Devastating and lasting impacts of colonization. Starting in the 1850s, the U.S. government forced many Native peoples to leave their ancestral villages and move to small, isolated reservations. While treaties preserved their rights to gather food in traditional places, these rights were often denied. The government promised to provide food to replace lost access to lands and waters. These low-quality surplus foods harm Native people's spiritual and physical health, harm that continues to this day in the form of health problems such as diabetes and heart disease. Photo of boarding school caption. Native children were taken from their families and forced to attend boarding schools like this one in Tulalip. Their traditional customs, language, and diet were strictly forbidden. Parents who tried to stop their children from going to boarding schools risked jail sentences and the loss of food rations for their families. Point Elliott Treaty ceded lands. When Coast Salish tribal leaders signed the Point Elliott Treaty with the U.S. government, they gave up most of their lands and waters in exchange for a promise of housing, education, health care, economic development, and continued access to traditional hunting, fishing, and gathering places. Many of these promises were not kept. Native resistance. The Fish Wars, demonstrations in the 1960s and 70s, have been central to restoring tribal rights to fish in the usual and accustomed places guaranteed by the Point Elliott Treaty and others in the region a century before. Protesters staged fish-ins, off-reservation fishing to draw attention to the treaty violations. Many people were arrested, including those who were not activists and simply trying to feed their families. Arrests were challenged in court and overturned in 1974 when the Bolt decision restored partial rights to treaty tribes. This case represents a landmark step forward in the recognition of the rights of tribal nations by the U.S. government. Bottom text. Despite being denied access to traditional foods and facing starvation, Native people's core principles of connecting with each other through food survived. Food was often prepared using just the low quality and quantity lard, flour, and canned meat supplied by the U.S. government. Some food practices, like fry bread, are the result of Native peoples making the best tasting food they could with the few ingredients they had available. Panel 7. Foodways persist. Community quote. Good food can neutralize negativity. Food can heal us from the inside out. Food is going to bring us back together again. From Warren King George, Muckleshoot. Today, Native peoples continue to use the food knowledge and values that have guided them for generations. Despite many barriers, such as polluted waters, extinct food sources, loss of access to land, limited time, and the allure of fast food, Native cultural practices are thriving, and traditional foods are at the center of this revitalization. Reclaiming knowledge and practice. Rebuilding the knowledge for making and using traditional hunting and fishing tools is a big part of healing the wounds of the past. Cultural collections, like those at the Burke Museum, serve as teachers for descendants who can study the materials and techniques used by ancestors across generations. Yakima Bison. The Yakima Nation has hunted bison throughout our traditional territories, including the Buffalo Plains, since time immemorial. From the Yakima Nation Tribal Resolution, 2017. Bison play an important role in the culture and history of the Yakima Nation of South Central Washington. In 2016, for the first time in over a century, the Yakima exercised their 1885 treaty rights to hunt bison on ancestral lands. Tribal members traveled to a designated area outside Yellowstone National Park to reconnect with their cultural heritage via the hunt. Bison were brought back to the tribe and distributed for ceremonial use. The non-Native community was so moved to witness the Yakima protocols in respect for the gift of the life of the bison. From Davis Yellowwash Washines, Chairman of the Yakima Nation General Council. Preservation and Restoration of Rights and Heritage. Treaties signed by the U.S. government are still in effect today and guide the relationships between the U.S. and most sovereign Native nations. Native peoples lost a lot in those treaties, especially land, but they reserved their rights to harvest food from traditional territories. Although these few remaining rights are constantly challenged, Native nations actively work to protect them via the courts, environmental restoration projects, co-management of fisheries and food sources, and public awareness. Environmental leader and treaty rights activist Billy Frank Jr. led the fight for fishing rights and the conservation of natural resources until his passing in 2014. Panel 8. Blending the New with the Old. The phrase, traditional food, implies that there is an unchanging cookbook that Native peoples have followed throughout time. But ingenuity and adaptation can also be hallmarks of what we come to understand as traditional. Oral traditions and archaeological evidence show that ingredients and technologies for hunting, cooking, and preserving have changed over the thousands of years that people have lived here. That tradition of invention continues today. New people and communities bring new traditions that influence the type of foods we eat and the ways that they're prepared. Native people's foods, like salmon, continue to make a huge impact on regional cuisine, as well as cultural and ecological preservation. Is new medicine always good for you? Food feeds our bodies and spirits and can heal them too. The lessons we've learned about the health benefits of traditional foods have implications for the healing of common diseases, like diabetes and heart disease, which have afflicted Native communities in the years since their forced separation from their lands and waters. The line between food and medicine is fuzzy. Many new medicines, marketed by commercial businesses, have proven to be less than healthy, while traditional foods have proven their healing qualities over many generations.